And we're in. All right. Well, we just spent a few minutes with a bunch of PMs. Now we're going to deep dive on some of the stuff we just talked about.
Right.
Why don't we start with introductions? Humberto, why don't you start?
So my name is Humberto, and I'm actually a PM for the platform team.
Excellent.
I'm Scott, Scott Head, and I'm a developer for the platform team.
And I'm Elliot Lewis, and I'm the developer lead on the platform team.
All right, so why are we here? We just spent a few minutes talking about some stuff. We're going to deep dive on some of that.
Right, and the overview, we talk about the concept of solutions for CRM5.
Right.
And that is one of the biggest investments that we're doing at the platform level. Mm-hmm. That's going to basically change, I won't say radically, but it's going to significantly change the way people think about building solutions for CRM. Mm-hmm. So before, in previous version, you started by creating components first, and then you somehow package that up. Usually partners created their own MSIs, and then distribute that to customers. But now CRM is going to understand the very notion of a solution. So you can think of a solution like, I think we mentioned this during the overview, you can think of a solution like add or remove programs in Windows. Mm-hmm. You can package that up and distribute that to your clients. And that's gonna bring a bunch of benefits to our partners. Things like, for example, IP protection, the ability to have layers of components, or layers of solutions. You can have a base solution and then start creating on top. And that's pretty powerful.
So when you talk about layers,
right.
You as an ISV or a developer can have multiple layers, but also you could layer on top of other ISVs.
Correct.
Right.
And that's also applicable for customers. You don't need to have to be an ISV, for example. The chances that you purchase something from an ISV and you're going to use it exactly as it is are pretty slim. You usually need to add an attribute, rename an entity, add a new workflow. So you actually customize on top of whatever the ISV performed, right? And that, if we allow you to do that, for example, what happens right now in B4, if we allow you to customize that, then it becomes really hard for the ISV to keep maintaining and upgrading that application because he doesn't know what exactly you changed to their solution.
Right.
So with this notion of layering, you can actually do that. You can take the core of the ISV solution and keep adding customizing on top.
So you sort of a concept of change management and versioning even to a certain extent.
To a certain extent, yes.
Okay, that's great. So how do you do that?
It's pretty complex, and actually that's why I have my devs here to actually help me out explaining the guts of how we implemented this.
So the PM talks about what it does. These are the guys that actually do it. So
yeah, we have to be good for something.
So tell me more. So how does this stuff all come together? And how do you think ISVs are going to use it?
It comes together mostly at the database level. We basically implement a way to track solutions. We implement a way to track components of a solution. And then for all of the entities or metadata concepts that are solution aware, we actually use multiple rows in the database to represent the same object.
Uh-huh.
And every row represents essentially a version of that object, be it the original system object or an original ISV custom object, and then additional rows for further customizations, be they by an ISV or by the end user himself. So I can show a little bit.
Yeah, sure. You want to show it on the whiteboard?
Yeah, that might
let's,
be
let's do that.
Thing to do. So, essentially, we have the solutions table, and here we have things like solution ID, and we'll have things like the name, and then the publisher, so this would be correlating to the ISV that actually created the solution,
uh-huh.
And we may have version information. And so within this table, we keep track of all the solutions. We also have what is called the solution component table. And the main parts of this table are, again, a solution ID. And this gives us tie back up to the solution table. We have what's called the component ID. And we have a component type. So there are multiple different types that can be part of the solution. There are things like forms and saved queries and entities and attributes and relationships.
Uh-huh.
So those are the different component types, and these would be their corresponding IDs. And then the solution here would be a particular solution that they belong to. So I may have, for example, solution 1 with the name of Foo, publisher is Microsoft, version 1. And then down here I may have certain components. So I have component that is an entity. So entity A, for example, or entity, and this would be its component ID of 10. And then maybe it's got another entity and, say, a form. Let's see, it's 12, and let's say it's got a form. Now, that would mean that this solution has these particular components in its solution. If I further wanted to have these components belong to another solution, I could do that. I could say I've got solution 2, named bar, publisher MS Prime, version 1. And I could have, for this solution, I could have a new entity, let's say this guy. But then I could also have a reference to an entity that was perhaps created by this solution. And that would be a further modification of that entity by this solution.
That's when we start talking about things like layering. So you can actually add components that belong to you to another solution and keep customizing that.
Mm-hmm.
Something that Elliot hasn't mentioned yet, which is where it starts to get really, really complicated and funky, is how do we track that at the component level?
Yep. That was the next thing I was going to
talk about. Okay, which is the next thing that he's going to talk about.
It's getting away out of me. PMs do that.
That's my job.
So is it all right for me to erase this?
Yeah, absolutely.
Sure.
So if we think about the actual components, we need to keep track of what's actually going on per component. So this all was able to say, okay, these components belong to these solutions, but what's more interesting is what data about those components belongs to those solutions. So if we think about maybe the entity table, entities have an entity ID. They may have a physical name. And they may have properties like is offline enabled and is mergeable and various other things. So let's say an ISV comes along and creates a new entity. That entity would get thrown into this table, and let's say it has a physical name for Foo. Let's say it's offline enabled, and it is mergeable. The way we keep track of this entity being part of that solution, essentially, is we maintain a solution ID here. Let's say this is, you know, some ISV1. It'd be a GUID, but for clarity's sake. We also have a couple of other columns that are used to track certain things about the different rows that may represent the same object. I don't want to get too much into the details of them, but we have things. The biggest ones are the override time. This might be a little hard to read. And what we call the component state. So the override time is actually the thing that tells us of the multiple rows that may represent the same object, which one is actually the one currently in play. It was always the one with override time of 0, and in this case the component state is 0, which means it's published. So this ISV, ISV1, has come and created this solution with this entity. Now let's say that ISV2 wants to modify this entity in some way. They want this entity to not be mergeable. They would come along and have this data inserted into the table. They'd say for entity 1, we keep the same physical name. It's offline enabled, but it is not mergeable. What we've done is we've created this second row. The other thing we do, we set the component state to 0 here, which indicates that this row is now published and available. And this guy gets the override time of 0, and this guy essentially gets an override time of now. So what this means is, because this has the lowest override time, this row is now the one that is active for this entity.
Mm-hmm.
what this gives us is a number of different things. First, it gives us versioning so that we have multiple versions per solution. It also gives us rollback. So if I were to come along and uninstall the ISV2 solution, I could eliminate this row, but this entity would still exist because I haven't uninstalled ISV1.
Right.
If I were to uninstall ISV1, it'd be smart enough to remove both. Because we actually have another column which indicates that there's a relationship between these two rows.
Sure.
When you think about doing this across multiple components, and when you think about the fact that solutions support not only metadata, we not only support things like entities and workflows, we also support things like, for example, security roles. Security roles are actual data records on the database. We also support things like templates. We are supporting things like, for example, plugins, things like reports. When you think about all the differences and being able to track that across all those component types, things start to get really, really complicated. So that's why we had to, for example, Scott came up with all the, what we call the transitions around all these components. So we basically orchestrate all the changes that need to happen in the database so that everything remains in a consumable non-corrupt state, right? Yeah. Across all the versions. That's pretty complex. And by the way, we have patents for all of that.
Well, I'll tell you what, we've been chatting for 10 minutes. You
sure.
Want to actually show us?
All right. Let's do that. So what I'm actually going to show you is one of the latest builds that we have for CRM5. It's
right.
Still an early build. So
first look of CRM5.
So things will probably crash. No, I'm just
yeah.
kidding. So if they're
it's
not that crash.
A lot of placeholders here were
correct.
Icons and text.
Icons,
and so
text.
That.
You already
yeah.
noticed that the UI, it's a
yeah.
bit different.
Sure.
So what I'm going to do now is I'm actually, I went to the normal customization section that IDBs are familiar with. And you notice that now all we have there is it's icons for solution and publishers, software publishers. And this legacy download web service description file, which we might remove. I don't know yet.
Uh-huh.
So now instead of actually going and creating entities, I'm actually going to start by creating a solution, right? So I'm going to start by creating the container, for example, something like event management. I'm going to use the default publisher. Well, actually, I'm going to create a new one. Let me actually do that first. Let me just go back for a second here. Let me go back and create a software publisher here, because something important is that we also change in the name we track namespaces for solutions.
Uh-huh.
So, for example, I'm going to be ISV1, and now you notice I have things like the prefix that we move. This used to be an org level setting, and now
right.
we move that to the software publisher. So, for example, ISV1. The rest of the fields are optional. I just created now my software publisher. I can come back and now create my solution. For example, event management. Publisher, I can pick the one that I just created, ISB1. And what it's going to do is that whatever customizations, whatever new objects I create from this solution, it's going to apply in the namespace of the publisher that I just created.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you notice, Elliot already mentioned this, but we are now having the concept of versions for solutions,
mm-hmm.
which is going to be pretty powerful because we're going to be able to manage things like upgrade of solutions.
Mm-hmm.
And now I go to the solution components grid, you can start seeing that I can now, my development centers around creating the solution. I can start creating new objects, or I can also go and add existing objects. So for this demo, I'm just going to create a new entity. For example, venue2. I think I already have one in my system, so I'm just going to add the two there. Okay. You notice that the prefix is actually being applied, ISB1. And you notice also that the editor knows that I'm working in a solution. It says working on solution event management. So all the editors now in CRM5 are actually solution aware. So I'm creating my entity. This portion is similar to before. It's just going to take a little bit to actually create that. Almost there.
You better go quick. I just realized we only got 11 minutes on the battery.
All right. No worries. I'm only going to take, like, what about, like,
yeah.
15 minutes?
No, that's
just
fine.
Kidding.
That's fine.
We'll work on the perf. Don't worry.
Yeah, we're working on the perf, definitely. Okay,
yeah.
So there it goes. Now I'm actually going to modify the form, which is going to allow me to show one of the new features of CRM5, which is the investments that we did in the form editor, right? Before, you had to add your fields and
this is cool, yeah.
And do that, kind of like manually move them around. Now we actually have drag and drop.
Wow, do that again. Hold on a sec. That's cool.
Let's do that. Let's feel. I had drag and drop here.
Wow.
I can not only do that, I can actually move entire sections around.
Wow.
So right, you can imagine that this is going to improve the development time for things like forms, right?
Oh, yeah.
So I'm just going to show that we have now drag and drop. We have a bunch of fancy things there to actually improve the user experience.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, something I also want to show. Sorry. Let me just quickly go back. We have now richer controls too. For example, I can now add in the form editor something that's pretty powerful. I can add things like subgrids, for example.
Subgrids. So just by clicking that one.
Just
button?
By clicking the here, I can just select my my object type here. Well, first I have to provide a label, my subgrid. I have to say the records, only related records or all record types that I want to use, and I can point. Okay, I want to show, for example, accounts in this form. Provide that, and just like that, I have a subgrid.
Where is that?
That's a good question. Where did I add that? It's not showing up. Let me try that again. Activities regarding appointments regarding. If it's not showing up, it might be that it's just not working in this build. Subgrid 2. Okay, there it goes. This is subgrid. It's not showing right now because it's in design time. If I actually go on preview this.
Let's see that.
Create form. Going to do the create, and you can see that I actually have a subgrid here. I didn't set it up properly, but it should show all the records here.
So that's pretty neat. So the benefit there.
The both subgrids that I added are
so
there.
So it just
actually
got added at the bottom.
It just got added at the bottom.
Right. That's fine. So the benefit there, obviously, to the end user is that you don't have to click around through the navigation
right.
to see the related records.
Right, right. So everything is in one page.
Yeah, so master detail.
Yeah,
love
pretty
it.
Much. That's
yeah,
it.
Love it.
So that's pretty cool. So let me just save
show
this.
Me more.
Show me more. Also related to the richer control set and the richer data mode that we have. Let me just close this one. There we go. Is the ability to, for example, now create lookup attributes, right? Before you had to be kind of like a relationship expert
mm-hmm.
to actually figure out what type of relationship you have to create in order to generate a lookup.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's just pretty straightforward. I just want to create a new attribute, right? And I want it of type lookup. This type was not available before. Now it's native.
So it's a new type.
We already had this type, but before to be able to create this, you have to create a relationship first.
Right.
Now we're actually doing all that on your behalf.
So you had to have a separate entity, and you had to do all sorts of fancy stuff to make this work.
Correct, basically. And now it's just, okay, I want to create a lookup, and I want to point to this entity. For example, let me point to contact.
Uh-huh.
And I just click save, and that's it. We're creating all the relationships for you, and now you can go back to your form editor and drop that into your form, and just keep going from there.
Sweet.
So
I love it.
That saved you like 1,000 clicks just right there. And also something new that I want to show you is the notion of global pick list. Now we're calling them option sets. We're still debating around the name. But what this basically is that now you can create pick lists that can be reused across multiple entities. That's something that was a big ask from our partners. We have partners that used to have, for example, around 300 entities that the only purpose here was just a simple list of options, right?
Uh-huh.
So now we introduce the notion of global pick lists. So let's have a list of countries, for example, right? List of countries. Let me start adding values. We still don't have icons for this, but let me just add options here. Let me just do a quick list. Imagine this is a list of countries. I'm going to save this, which is going to create the option set. Let me just publish it. That is good. As Elliot mentioned, we're really working on the perf here. There you go. And now I can start using that in any entity. For example, I can come back to my venue entity. If I were setting, for example, the location of the venue, I can now create an attribute and pointing to an existing option set. So for example, my venue country. And I can say that it's going to be of type picklist. We still haven't renamed this, so it's still called picklist. But now I can actually say use an existing option set, right? The one that I just created. And here it is, the one that I just created, and I can assign a default value if I want. I can save and close that, and just like that, you can reuse the same pick list multiple times.
So again, saving a lot of
saving a lot of clicks and just basically straightening out the data model for your application. Now, the last thing that I want to show here is that if I were to export this, let me actually.
So as you've been doing this, you've kind of been kind of assembling all of these things that go into the solution.
Mm-hmm.
These are all the components. So one of them was the option set, the entity table, the contact table.
Right.
Any changes that you've made.
Right.
Okay.
Any changes that I made, I can potentially add a workflow.
Okay.
Just for the sake of time, I'm just going to keep it this way. And then what I'm going to do is, as an ISV, I want to package this, right?
Uh-huh.
So what this is going to do is to add an extra layer of protection to my solution so that whenever I import that, it's going to install in what we call the protected mode. So right now it's generating the package.
So where did you tell it to protect it?
I just had to click package.
Okay. So can you package something and not protect it?
Yes. Let me actually do that. We have two modes here.
Oh, I see.
If you click export, that's the normal export mode, which is kind of like exporting the source of your solution.
Right.
But if I actually click package, it's going to add that extra layer of protection.
Okay.
Right now, it's just really a flag in the file, but we're going to take that to another level in the next mouse.
So it just puts it into a zip file?
It's right now just a zip file. Let me put that in my desktop. Event management. There we go. And what I'm going to do here, let me actually go and open another org. Mm-hmm.
So you're just logging into a new system?
It's a new system. Let's assume that now I already gave this package to my customer, and now my customer is going to install this.
Uh-huh.
So I go to here, solutions. I may already have one that's named like that, but it doesn't matter because the grids are different.
Sure.
So just ignore this one for... I'm actually half an hour ago, so let me try that. This one, yeah, there we go. I have an org here.
This is your PDC org.
This is my PDC org. This is actually the one time I'm going to be using for the demo.
Uh-huh.
I already
also
have
this
one.
Management. That's fine.
Yeah, that's going to be a bit problematic.
Oh, is that right? Can you uninstall it? How would you uninstall it?
Right, it's just a click, for example. Let me just click here.
There's it.
I'm going
to
delete this.
Opportunity to show us how to...
There we go.
Hold on. So what did you do there? You just clicked the...
I just clicked delete. Oh, man.
Well, that's not working yet.
Okay.
This portion is not working yet?
But that's how it will work.
Just have an old build.
There's nothing to see here.
No, okay. There it goes. It actually installed the other one that I had. Right, I actually had three, and now I actually have two. Right. This is going to be interesting.
So how did you install it? I didn't see how you how did you import that?
Okay, let me try it because we actually have, they might have the same name, but they actually have different grids. Let's actually try that. So let me import that.
Yeah,
the one that.
It's the unique name. It's actually the same. So they're both called event management.
Hmm.
It's not just the grid.
Okay,
let me try that. Maybe it's going to fail.
Okay.
Maybe not. Yeah, I think
this
it's actually failed.
This is dev versus PM here. Let's see who's
right. I think he's actually right.
I think you're buying a lunch there, Humberto.
Yeah, I might have to buy a lunch there. Correct. Yeah, it didn't install because it has the same unique name.
Okay, but it's pretty straightforward. You just import.
You just import the solution. Let's assume that this is the one that I just imported, right?
Okay.
You actually see that I actually have it in protected mode.
Where is that? Let's see.
Here, the state. I actually have this on protected mode.
Okay.
So if I open this up, you see that actually I cannot edit this. Right.
How do
the solution
you see that?
Definition.
Because it's all grayed out.
It's all grayed out. You cannot edit the solution definition.
Uh-huh.
You cannot add components. Right. All the add, remove buttons are gone from this grid.
Uh-huh.
You cannot do anything.
Uh-huh.
So the question is, what if I need to customize this? Right. What if I need to change something?
Right.
So what you would do as a customer or as an ISV building on top of this.
So actually, Humberto, we have about a minute left on the battery,
sure.
So don't touch anything.
Okay.
We're going to stop, plug in.
All right.
And then, but don't touch anything. Okay.
All right.
All right, we're back. So sorry about that, Humberto.
No,
it's
problem.
The first time that's happened to me. Batteries.
Yeah, I'm sure about it.
Okay, so you didn't touch anything.
I didn't touch anything. It's actually the same thing,
okay.
The same build.
That's fine. Let's have a look.
So what I was just showing that is the solution, it's installing protected mode, which means that I cannot change it.
Mm-hmm.
If I need to customize that, now I can add another layer, which is basically means creating another solution. So for example, my... customizations. And I can use whatever polish I want here. It really doesn't matter for this
now, demo. Do I have to actually create a solution to change, like, an entity?
No, you don't. I'm actually going to show that in just a second.
All right.
But you can always work in the default solution.
So what did you do here? You're adding a new...
I'm just using any publisher here. It really doesn't matter. I just want
to do
customizations.
Okay.
So this is the version of my customizations.
Uh-huh.
And now I can add components that were created by other solutions. So, for example, I want to add an existing object. This object, I didn't create it. My solution didn't create it, but some other solution actually created that.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, the Benio entity is there. I install that. I add that to my solution, and now I can keep adding stuff. So, for example, attributes, right? You can see the custom attributes here. I have these two. Because I actually used this for another demo, I actually added another attribute.
Mm-hmm.
Let me actually add that here, a new one here. Attribute 6.
So you were adding a new attribute to an entity that was installed
by
another solution.
Right.
Okay.
Save, close. So now you notice I actually have three attributes. Now what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to export this entity, and what I'm going to get, instead of getting all these three attributes, I'm going to get two. I'm going to get two because in my previous demo, I'm reusing one org that I already used for another demo. I actually did the same process,
mm-hmm.
and I added a new custom attribute in this solution.
Got it.
So instead of actually getting three, this is the one that was created originally by the solution that I installed,
right.
And these two, I actually added them in this system.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so... when I do an export, I can do an export of package, and then I can analyze the XML file. Let's do an export. So what this is doing is actually generating a zip package again, but this is kind of like the source. I'm going to save this into my desktop.
So is the difference between export and package, is there encryption and internally?
Right now it's just basically just a flag that tells you where or not it's protected.
Okay.
But after we finish with the implementation in the next milestone, it's actually going to be things like encryption.
Got it.
So let me look at the customization file. First, look that we are not exporting everything on the system like we used to do before, all the attributes. First, you notice that now we have added things like the solution manifest, things like the solution name, the version, all that. You also notice that we have a section, and this is pretty important, a section for dependencies. So we now understand that you actually build this solution. Oops, I actually closed that, sorry. They actually are dependent on this other solution, right, called event management.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever you need to install this solution, the system is going to require you to have this one installed first.
Mm-hmm.
And now if I actually go look at my components, for example, here is Benio. You notice I actually have only two attributes instead of the three that I had before. I have new Benio and new custom attribute. And the other ones are not there. Also, the system attributes that we auto-generate are not there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because I didn't create them as part of my solution. So that's pretty powerful.
Yeah.
If you compare this file with a B4 file, I actually did kind of like the same thing in a B4 system. You actually notice I have an entity. This is B4. Benio, and I have a bunch of other stuff that I really don't need. And that I really don't create it as part of my solution, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Ad-related nodes, this. And they just look at the XML, right? It's like humongous. All this, right? All the attributes, all the forms, all that for the same entity.
Right.
If you compare that with B5, it's just like pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
Right? Just a couple
of
lines
there. Cool.
And the form, because I also modified the form.
Yeah.
So I'm actually also getting the form. That's it. If you notice the rest of the entities, because I didn't change them, you notice I actually added contact to my solution, but I didn't modify anything, so that's why exporting empty.
So it just shows the entity.
Shows that, you added that as part of your solution, but you didn't change anything there.
So it just lists.
It just lists that.
That's very cool.
Yeah, that's
pretty
cool.
I think you're going to get a lot of thank you emails from a lot of ISVs.
Hopefully we're addressing a bunch of their pain points. So we really want to take this to the next level.
That's very cool. So we only have a few more minutes. Was there anything else on the client side that has changed?
I can show you how new forms kind of like look at runtime, for example.
Yeah, let's have a look.
For example, you notice that now we have a different command presentation at the top. Now I go, for example, to records. I don't have any records here right now. You notice that the command presentation changed here whenever I flip context. So the command presentation is actually context sensitive. That's whenever I create a new record here, you notice that the navigation is going to go away. So it's actually giving more space to work. So
not opening tables or forms all
over
the place.
New windows. That is reducing the number of clicks, reducing the number of windows.
So less clickiness.
Less clickiness, exactly. And you also notice that tabs are no longer here. We don't have now the concept of tabs. We don't have tabs there.
So what
now
are the tabs?
It's all now. It's a long page form, which is easy to scroll. It's a lot better
Can you do that again?
To scroll? As to scroll here, we now have all the sections. If you want to navigate to one of the what we used to call tabs, I can just click here, and that's going to take me to that section.
Oh, I see. Okay, so tabs have kind of been moved over to a sort of a nav bar on the left-hand side.
Correct.
Okay, that's cool.
And this is pretty powerful for interfaces that have a lot of information density.
Yeah.
So we actually had a lot of feedback from customers that they want to have a lot of information in just one page and being able to quickly access to that information.
Yeah, it's probably going to take some getting used to it, but I think once you get used to that, it's going to be a lot easier.
And it's not like we just got rid completely of the tab concept or the quick access concept. It is still here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So let me just save that. Now I can come back to, I can close this record and I can come back to my navigation.
And so it just pops back.
That's
right. Sweet.
Now something else that is pretty cool, let me show you that, is that now we have, if I go, for example, to opportunities, I'm actually going to this one because we actually have something already set for this entity. I have the concept of charting.
Charting.
So you see the little button here that says charts, which is going to give me inline chart. Right now it's going to be empty because I don't have any opportunities. But let's just quickly create a couple of opportunities here. Up one. Potential customer. My new account. Let me just add a user provided value here, like 300,000. Let me save and create a new one. Another potential customer, same one. Oh, something that also important to highlight, look at all the improvements that we did to the lookup. Now you can actually see that we now allow you to reuse all your views here. Before, this was not possible, right? And now we also have filter like only show my records. Right now I only have one, but I can just do that, and it's only going to show me my records, the records that I actually own. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, end users are going to love that.
Users are going to love that. And all this is scriptable. So you can script that and pass filters on the fly to the lookup. So filter lookups, now those are standard in CM5. So let me just create this. User provided 5,000. Save and close. And now let's actually look at the charts. Let me close this. I can actually go and click on the charts button here. I can actually see top 10 customer. This is inline. This is not SRS, right? This is the application showing you charting capabilities. You can even think about this like dashboards. So this one is my top 10 customers. It's only showing one right now. Sales pipeline, for example, is showing me the pipeline there. Top 10 opportunities. I can actually see my two opportunities
there. So we keep hearing dashboards.
Right.
I mean, there's lots of different ways to build dashboards. Now it's built right in.
Yeah, just baking it into the application.
And from a developer point of view, can dashboards be added to forms? And
yeah, I mean, one of the things that we are definitely considering is that you remember that I mentioned having subgrids into forms. So you can drop a subgrid into a form that's going to have charting capabilities, and now you suddenly have querying and charting inside the form. So you can have, basically you can add whatever you want into the form.
That's pretty nice.
The last thing, do we still have time? Not that much.
Last thing.
Otherwise, people are going to kill me if I don't mention this.
It's better be a good one, though.
It is a good one. We now have the ability to have add connections to entities.
Okay, what's a connection?
Connection, you can think about of a connection like tagging. So I'm basically creating an unstructured relationship to whatever other object in the system. So, for example, I am my opportunity, and I want to relate this to, for example, I don't have a good example right now for opportunities, but let's go back, for example, to contacts. Really quick contacts here. there we go. Contacts. Let's create two contacts here. Robert. Oops. This should go. Last name. Well, just like this. Let's just save a new downsend. Yeah, that's just, we already know about that bug. analyst name, for example,
Riga.
Martinez.
Okay, that's fine.
Riga.
That's fine. That's fine. No, that's fine.
All right. Okay. I don't want to offend anybody. Okay. So, Riga, now we have two contexts, right? And I want to say, let me actually come back here close to this. I want to say that, for example, Riga is my friend, or it's friend of, with somebody else, right? So I can quickly add a connection to any other object in the system. I don't have to actually create a structured relationship to that. I can just say here, okay, create new connection at this role. I don't have right now any new roles defined, but I can do that. So for example, new role, friend, and it's a social role in the social category.
So you could have things like golfs with...
Whatever. Yeah, whatever. It's just basically like tagging.
Yep.
So I can say now that Riga is going to be the friend of, for example, another contact. And you notice that I can select any other entity here.
Mm-hmm. So I could make a connection not just with another entity within the same...
No, exactly.
Okay.
You can do it with whatever other entity on the system. That's really powerful.
So I can make a connection between Riga and another company, for instance.
Correct. Right. And
okay.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's there, right? It's like tagging.
So how would I use that?
You can do that, for example, like create teams, like virtual teams. For example, when you're working on an opportunity, for example, it is usually that you have virtual teams working on the same opportunity.
Uh-huh.
So you can just quickly say, oh, this is the team that's going to be working on this opportunity. This is the team that's going to be working on the contract. This is the team that's going to be following up by email. All of that dynamically, right? You have to ask your administrator to create new relationships. You can do that right away.
Right. That's cool.
Yep.
We are way over time.
All right.
So...
But
let's
I think
wrap
it was
it
up. Pretty cool, right?
Absolutely. Very, very cool. I learned some stuff I didn't even know.
Cool.
So let's wrap it up. So what do you want developers to come away from this with?
To come up with a message that we are seriously investing in all the platform capabilities for CRM. We're taking the notion of developing on top of CRM to the next level. A solution was pretty evident that we are actually taking that very seriously. And that all the concerns that partners have around that, we are definitely taking those into account. So
okay, excellent.
We are hearing your feedback and taking action upon that.
Super. And
right.
How about you guys? What do you want developers to know about the product?
A lot of what Umberto said, really, that we're focused on delivering some richness in the platform, and that they should have more flexibility now in terms of the solutions that they can generate in terms of creating those more quickly and in terms of layering them on top of either ones that you create yourself or on top of other ones that other ISVs may be creating as well.
So definitely I would expect a certain richness of applications and solutions and even add-ons, whether they're horizontal or vertical,
mm-hmm.
that will take full advantage of the platform.
Yes.
This is very cool. Thanks a lot for showing to me,
sure.
guys. All right.
Thanks to you, Ben.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right.